The views and opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors.
You're here on a Saturday Night Live for the Easter long weekend. My name is Steve. Joining me is Peter and Mad Mick.
Me and my and my.
Wow.
Who are you?
Me.
What do you mean?
Me, I'm I.
Oh, you. Yeah. I'm I too.
Oh, so
I.
You
am I.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to the program for another week. We have a big show planned. It is Easter Saturday. It is
the podcast 201.
Yes, I hope you enjoyed the 200th episode last week. It was very nice.
Jesus has been hanging around on the cross. He's a cross dresser.
Is he? For the. On Easter long weekend. Good job. Coming up on the program this week, we have a lot to get through. The sports, a lot has been happening.
Yes, it's
the
last round of the A-League. Got the NRL and lots more.
Sports is a group, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a singing group to sports.
There's actually a group called tennis.
I used to also play the group called sports.
Also coming up, we have Mad Mick Presents.
Yeah.
What do you got for us, Mick?
People are talking about superannuation.
Man. You can buy a house with it now, I hear. Or a deposit.
I'll talk about it later.
Okay.
That's one of these.
You don't agree, Mick?
No.
Well, there you go.
Also, I'll tell you the reason why.
Yeah, tell us later. Also, we have television news. A lot's been happening in television.
Yeah, a few things have happened.
And we have a movie review, Mick.
Yeah, from Zoom.
Starring Tim Allen, I hear. Exciting. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm interested. We also have Pete's Week.
Your station, your community. 100.3 FM. Bringing great music to Sydney's southwest since 1989.
All right, it is time to talk sport. Peter.
Yes, well...
How are the Rabbitohs going?
He bet against, he bent with the Rabbitohs and what happened?
You know, well, they lost 24-9.
Up the Canterbury's, up the Berries.
They're not the Berries anymore, they used to be the Berries. Come on. Aussie rules. Now, Swans haven't won a game yet. They lost again, 4 blot, they're in trouble. But they're going to get some players back next week or two. So, final round of the A-League this weekend. And Melbourne Victory defeated the Mariners 1-0. And Bress Arparesha, who plays for Victory, got his 100th goal world record.
That's pretty good. One.
So, Peter, so the B-League's going to start next week, is it? So, the A-League's finishing this week?
Funny. Tonight, by the way, I was watching something on ESPN before I left. Did you know it was 1989, that's 28 years to the day that when Sheffield Wednesday and Liverpool clash, they had that 95 people died in that clash where everyone just stormed in the
soccer
gates.
Team.
The soccer,
where everyone trampled over everyone.
Sheffield Wednesday's home ground, when they all stormed in the gates and the coppers couldn't control it properly and 95 died. By the way, in the Champions Trophy last Asians thing, Adelaide won on Thursday. Western Sydney played down here at Campbelltown Stadium and they lost. Again, they lost their bronco to the bottom of the ladder in that comp, so then they got a couple more games to try and get somewhere, or they'll be out of...
They're out anyway.
Oh, well, they could have won, so...
They won't win anymore.
And Brisbane also lost, so they're in trouble as well. So the only Australian team that are in contention with the Asian Championship is Adelaide, so they had a good win the other night too.
That's unfortunate.
But the crowd at Campbelltown Stadium wasn't that ordinary, really.
That's still a good turnout.
How's
Curry
us
going?
Well, Jay won the Davis Cup last week.
No, they won the Davis Cup.
Davis the quarterfinals
last week.
Curry's is tipped to be top 5.
I mean, that's pretty good, especially he's been doing really well at the
moment. And he's been calming down.
Calming
is it because it's his coach, right? He's going to be...
Got the right medication.
He
hasn't got atomic near him. He hasn't got atomic near him because him and put atomic and him together, one goes off, the other one goes off.
They're like bad influence on each other type of thing. Yeah. But that's good for Australia. Hopefully we can win, which would be really good because...
The next one. And by the way, talking about Liverpool.
Which Liverpool?
Liverpool England team.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking before. They announced during the week they're going to play Sydney FC at ANZ Stadium next month. They're two of my teams. But I'm going to go for Sydney FC anyway.
Because you should.
Oh, I should.
For Sydney.
Or just make it a draw.
I hate when
two of my teams.
I have been to football games before and a draw is the worst.
They should draw a knife or a gun. That's what they should draw.
The problem is they don't use crayons when they draw.
Yeah.
They use pens.
Oh, it's not. You can't remove them.
No, you can't.
But you know where they should play? Instead of ANZ Stadium, Liverpool should play Sydney FC in Liverpool. Last week it was the Masters. Sergio Garcia won his first green jacket.
But what about Australia?
No, didn't go well.
Doesn't matter.
Not the matter.
Maybe next
Captain
time.
Matter. Right. So, yeah. So
that's a bit unfortunate because you want them to do well.
You want the best to do.
And well. Except for rugby, it's they haven't decided what teams are going to be chopped from next
but
week.
But apparently it is two from
it's
Australia.
Still, it's still, it's either Melbourne Rebels or Western Force. It's up to them what they're going to, their challenge. They both want to take them to court.
Mm-hmm. And one of them's probably
one's going to win anyway and one's going to... Seriously, yeah. Because they made a mistake having an extra Australian team in the comp.
The one of them is privately owned.
It doesn't matter if it's privately owned by the Rebels.
No, I think that might make a big of a difference.
Melbourne Rebels are privately owned. They said it doesn't matter if they're owned or not. They're Why both not? In trouble. The players just don't know what they're going to do next year or what, you know.
Hey, did you hear about Cornflakes changing codes? He's going to play for the Roosters. So he's going to play Roosters. Cornflakes.
No, that's Roughheads. No, that might be Roughheads.
Sharing your community since 1989. FM 100.3. Your voice in Sydney Southwest.
All right, it is
yeah.
time for Mad Mick Presents. Mick, what do you got for us?
How we've got these bright sparks in Canberra talking about having people to borrow money to buy a house from their superannuation. That's not a very smart idea.
Are you borrowing money when it's... Isn't well, they taking
save yeah, but saving up. What I was doing is borrowing from your future. When I was growing up, half of my friends got married. Mm. They went and bought a house. As soon as they got divorced, they lost all of it. So imagine if you bought yourself a house on your superannuation, then suddenly you lost it. That means that superannuation, what you would have had in when you come 60s, you haven't got there anymore. So you're going to be struggling then.
But either way, you're still going to have to save up a lot.
The only way to stop it is say, right, no more people into Australia, no more houses to be sold and the last value you paid for it, and that's it. Put a cap on everything, because if they don't, one third of people, if there's another interest rate, will lose their houses.
Is that because of other people buying them or because they just can't pay it?
One third of the Australian house people on buying their house are not even a month in advance of their payment. And if they lose out, if they get sacked or get sick or retrenched, their house will be gone. We've had 25 years of full growth without a recession. That's the longest in the world from anyone. That is going to happen. And when it happens, a lot of people are going to lose their houses because they're overextended themselves, especially because the low interest that were being charged. They thought they could buy more.
Now, is this also a bad idea? Because if they take the money out of superannuation and something happens like you say it does, they won't have something to fall back on.
No.
How can they fix that? What do they do?
That's not a very smart idea. They've never come up with that idea. But
No. It just sounds enticing. Oh, I can use this money I've saved up.
Yeah. None of the politicians are saying that.
Of course they're not going to say it.
Some are for it and some are against it. And the ones who are against it don't say that. And that's the most important part.
Well, it makes sense.
I've seen so many people buy their house with their partner. They have a divorce. Everything's gone. They've lost all. And they're on the street.
And then that's two houses you got to probably rent. So that's a bit... Well, what should they do then? Just save. Don't get married and buy a house is what you're suggesting.
No. Wait until the revolution and everything goes down.
You back to the revolution.
Up the revolution.
All right, so spending your money on housing from superannuation is bad. Or what should you spend the money on? Just leave it there.
No, just you don't pull your superannuation out until you're ready to
what
retire.
What do you do with it?
You let it retire and let it build itself up.
But what happens when you retire? You want to buy a house.
Yeah, you buy it then.
But then you have no money to pay your mortgage.
You don't know how much the mortgage will be
or
the house will
be. Your rates or something. What about your rate?
You don't know how much it's going to be. The houses might be worth nothing.
Yeah, that's true. It could be because it could be inflated, though.
It could be inflated. It could be deflated.
I'm hoping it will be deflated, which would be great.
But you'll get there and you must probably spend $250,000 on your house. And
I heard in an interview this week with Gladys Berejiklian.
Yeah, she doesn't know anything.
Oh, man. No, she said exactly what, sort of like what you said. Obviously, she was kind of for it because they have to be. But she was saying you work hard and you save your money and you buy like a crappy house to start off with, because obviously you're not going to get the mansion you want as the first home, and then you work your way up, you save
more. Hopefully.
But first you start off small, get something you can, even if it's a rundown house, you can always renovate.
What I first did, my first paycheck went on a block of land up in the Blue Mountains.
How was that?
It was $950.
Wow, see Mick, it should be
and the cheapest
like
ones were the ones that are hardest to build on, and now they're the worth the most. They were $250 a block of land or $100 a block of land.
How big was the block, though?
Big blocks, quarter acre ones.
Wow.
But they were on cliff faces and stuff like that, and they're the hardest to build, but these are the ones that are worth big money now.
Most profitable now.
Yeah, but you would have to pay rates.
You got to pay rates everywhere. Yeah. You can't get around that.
I hate to say, when Russell Island first started off, when they sold up, you didn't pay rates on that.
Why was that?
Because it's an island.
You don't pay rates on an island?
You didn't pay rates on that island, nah. Until Redcliffe Council said, oh, we'll put a bridge over to Russell Island, we'll charge the rates. So they charged the rates, never put a bridge over. They're still paying rates on Russell Island.
Well, it kind of makes sense, because I don't think on an island you can have someone come and collect your garbage or fix your roads or do a toll.
Yeah, we have it on Australia. That's an island. That's a big island.
Continent. Yeah, sort of, I guess. But and we pay rates, that's for sure.
Serving Sydney's southwest since 1989. FM 100.3.
Pete's week. A resident got in a bit of a fright this week when she changed a light bulb last week. She found a dehydrated microbat hiding in her ceiling. God, what a microbat was put in the care of Campbelltown Wise volunteer on Monday and was unable to nurse him back to health. A member of the public had unscrewed a light bulb in the bathroom to change it when the bat had come straight out of the hole from the ceiling.
Now, MacArthur real estate agent was undertaking an industry training, and she says she was surprised when she found instructions in the training material on how to identify homes that have been used as meth labs.
Oh, I've talked about meth labs.
Yes, Mick, what about meth labs?
Did you see that meth lab junkie?
No.
They threw him in jail and he was trying to bite everyone.
Because he's on meth.
Yeah.
Zombie. What about the zombie?
Yeah, didn't you see it on TV?
No.
Was that the zombie drug?
Was that big python kept in a meth lab and he used to get a bit of meth in the air and he used to take it in.
Oh, okay.
And he'd become a meth junkie.
Wow.
So they had to put him into rehab. I thought, putting a snake into rehab? That's fair dinkum.
How are they going to know when he's fine, though?
He's not as cranky as what used to be.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully they take the venom out of him.
He's just a boa constrictor or something like that.
Oh, okay. So he's not as dangerous.
He's not a venomous. He's a crusher.
Oh, good.
One lady commented here, if you get rid of the junkies and smokers and clean up Queen Street and make it alive with trees, lights and colour, it would be great.
I don't know where she's seeing these smokers and junkies because I don't see them that often.
I wish I was one.
Don't you go in Campbelltown during the day?
No, I'm usually... Well, there you working
go.
Or sleeping?
Well, there you go. There's your answer.
I'm definitely not one of them.
However, what about a stoner?
I see a lot of stoners.
Casey Stoner. He was a stoner.
Okay. See, we saw the same joke, Mick.
FM 100.3, connecting with your community.
I never had a dog named Boo, though. I had a dog named Joanna.
Yeah, this dog was deaf. Hannah. He had a deaf dog, Boo.
I had a dog, blue kettle dog named Patch.
Oh, yeah. Very creative.
Yeah,
I've had in my backyard. I've had a rhino and a hippo.
You had a rhino
and a hippo. And
how did they work together?
They worked pretty good. When they were chasing sheep, rhino would jump on the backs, and hippo would just look around at them.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because they were dogs. My father called them rhino and hippo, so I had two dogs called rhino.
You didn't actually have a rhino.
Yeah, I did have a rhino, and I did have a hippo.
No.
I don't believe.
Hey, what's up? It's Will and Jaden from The Collective, and you're listening to the sounds of MacArthur, 100.3 FM.
You are here on Saturday Night Live with Peter, Mad Mick, and Steve. We're going to go with a little bit of sad news. John Clark from, I guess, the very well-received Clark and Door. Were you a fan, Mick?
Oh, you liked John Clark. He was excellent in Death in Brunswick.
Oh, I haven't heard
that movie was very funny.
Well, he's been known for many things, but...
And he was Fred Dagg over in New Zealand. I saw him when he was Fred Dagg.
About an offshore oil rig, which is, of course, a large device for pumping oil out of an oil field under the sea floor.
Sure. And what happens if something goes wrong?
Well, we're trying to figure that out at the moment.
No, I mean, before you start, what are the regulations
for
dealing
with
that
problem? You're not going to have a problem before you start.
Yeah, but what are the regulations?
The what?
Regulations.
Can you Google something for me quickly? Relegations?
No, regulations.
Regulations? Well, Google them both.
This is before you start.
No, you're not going to have an accident before you start. I mean, it's starting that causes the problem. There is no problem before you start. It's beautiful before you start.
So you're saying is...
Yeah, it's one of the most memorable sketches where he had 10 politicians where it was the same guy playing the politicians.
He doesn't dress up as them.
No.
He just plays them as it is.
I think that's how it should be, right, Mick? Because if you're not going to have the real politician, you might as well just...
There's a petition calling for the Dr. Blake mysteries to be saved from the X has now got 10,000 signatures. Now the petition has eclipsed one at change.org for a place to call home, which drew 7,600 odd supporters. So, and that got rescued from 7 to Fox. Will the Dr. Blake mysteries be back? Hope so.
It's pretty good, Dr. Blake Mysteries.
Yeah, well, it's very popular.
If it's so popular, well, I don't know why they would have axed it for. We'd save money.
They should get Kylie into it next. Who's Dr. Blake?
Jason Donovan.
Who plays Dr. Blake, and he plays a very good...
Oh, okay.
Apparently, Jason's coming back in, what I read, coming back to Neighbours soon.
Wow, that would be incredible.
He might be coming back as Dr. Blake in Neighbours.
No. Like a crossover?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, or it could be coming as Joe Blake.
Joe Blake.
You know what Joe Blake is?
No.
Joe Blake's a snake.
Is that what they call a snake, Joe Blake?
No, that's what they... Yeah, that's slang. Joe Blake, you're a Joe Blake, you're a snake.
Snake.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Rhyming snake. Right.
Now, 2GB broadcaster and Nine personality, Ben Fordham. Mm. Yes, this week he was accused the ABC of backpedaling after the whole Natasha Exelby saga, where she was daydreaming during a pre-recorded news piece.
Melanie Vukovic, ABC News, Mount Sylvia.
Now to sport with Meredith Sheehan.
Yeah, Meredith Sheehan.
That
no, big, wasn't too bad.
Big controversy where all she did was realise that... Oh. We're back on air. Whoops. And then...
Just pop with a pen.
Whoops, I did another one.
And then
whoops,
she,
I
now
did.
She's doing some radio.
On another network, yes.
For a while there, so...
Only for like a week.
But I reckon she'll be back.
Well, the ABC management said that they're on shift basis, so, you know, casual sort of...
And she's just come back. She was overseas and she's just come back from Australia again, so...
Yeah, makes sense.
And also, I have one here.
Well, I've long been an Easter show staple. I'm getting hungry. The famous scones made by the Country Women's Association.
Yeah. That was a tongue twister, that one.
That's what...
If you wouldn't have pointed out, I wouldn't listen to him.
Now, this one, well, I knew about this one.
If you thought the S word was bad... Here's
listen to this one.
Ahead on 7 News, exclusive details on funding cuts that it's feared will cost lives. And the Big Ben cover-up, why its famous bongs are about to fall silent.
And then she went to...
Did she say bongs?
Bongs and the F word.
She read famous bongs, but then she said the F word, Mick.
So where were the famous bongs?
In England, the Big Ben.
What did Big Ben smoke bongs?
The famous bong.
He went bang.
That's why... And then she proceeded to swear after that because she realised that she said the big bong. Which I think is funny.
She went too... That was weird.
I thought it was great.
Maybe she should get off ABC.
I don't know. TV people crack me up so much. They do.
A local radio station for the people of MacArthur. 100.3 FM.
Mad Mick Presents. What do you got, Mick?
Our Prime Minister's gone over to India.
Yes.
And started crawling to the Indians, and to especially to... the multi-billionaire who wants to have a coal mine in Australia.
Yep.
And his philosophy is, he's saying to the rest of the world, our Prime Minister, saying, there'll be tens and tens of thousands of jobs.
Yeah.
When this bloke wants to have this thing being already done for corruption over in India, for coal rigging of prices. And he admitted that the coal mine will be fully automatic. So there'll be no truck drivers driving the trucks. There'll be one person driving all the trucks. It won't be anyone loading the coal because it will all be fully automatic. It will be the trains will be fully automatic driving to the coal loader. So where's the tens of thousands of jobs, Mr. Prime Minister? I mean, there's only going to be about 50 or 100 jobs.
Well, Mick, they've got to get someone to push the button for the robot.
Yeah, but if it was normal, he wants to give them $1 billion to put a railway track in. You're saying, oh, there'll be tens of thousands of jobs being made. A lot of crap. And you're going to lose all those taxes not being paid because you haven't got the people doing the work to pay those taxes in the coal mine.
Why would they promise something like that? Is that just to entice them to get on board with it?
It's enticing so I'll get people the average. That's jobs. We can have jobs. We'll let it pass.
It's the same thing with the airports. There's going to be so many jobs at the airports.
Yeah, it will be a lot of hot air.
A lot of people aren't qualified for those jobs? Are they going to bring people from overseas?
Yeah, and they're not training anyone.
I imagine they're not at the moment, but they could, right?
They could.
If they're going to have it in 20 years' time, they should be starting to train the people now at TAFE or university.
Well, yeah, of course. I think Campbelltown TAFE would benefit from that, the university, even Liverpool.
TAFE, Liverpool University, the trades.
I think anyone would benefit from it.
Well, weren't you going to talk about our premier?
Gladys Berejiklian, so happy at the moment, Mick. She made $2.5 billion this week.
I wonder how like, if I come along and sold your car, you wouldn't be like that, would you?
Well, I wouldn't have a car.
This is what these people are doing, coming along and selling our assets without our permission, saying, look how good we are. Oh, sorry, we can't fix up Nepean Hospital, but we can put new stadiums up.
No, Mick, but they can sell off the land titles registry.
They shouldn't be able to do that, because they don't own it, and they weren't voted in for it. So they can't say they got a mandate, and a mandate is when you go out with a man. It's a mandate.
Is it worth $2.5 billion?
All it's going to do is cost us more money. When they sell. Every time they sell something, privatise it, it costs the average punter more money.
Is that a big worry though, Mick? Are they going to sell off information, people's housing?
You don't know what they could do, and how are they going to run it? And if someone gets in and feels like getting rid of all their secrets, they post it on WikiLeaks.
I don't think it'd be that easy though, because the government still have control over it, right?
It still doesn't matter.
But they own the database, so it's not like anyone can actually come and
they can hack
stuff into
the database, or their database could be goo whiff and put someone else's name on them when they don't own it.
Yeah, they could.
Because there's no consequence. Now you're going to have to, if you get a mortgage, I was talking about an insurance mortgage, of course, if the database is being sold off and it gets, and the data gets sold off, someone might say, oh, we'll rip off these people by putting our name down as owning this property, and they won't know, and then they sell it.
But isn't it also a good thing, Nick, because they can put the money into other things?
No, they're losing the money. Their budget is going out the door.
But what makes you think they won't put the money into good things? What
but
are they
most of your money,
most of
your profit came from everything they privatised. They had money coming in from electricity. They had money coming in from the water. Mm-hmm. They had money coming in from their own banks. Now those bits of money are not coming in and saying, oh, where are we going to get the rest of our money? We've done it all. We've wasted all our money. We're getting idiots who are saying, get rid of this. 20 years down or 50 years down the track, they come back, oh, we have to put new ones in, exactly the same. They're real good.
This
as they said,
better.
Light rail. No, that's what they're doing. Oh, we had to get rid of trams in the 60s. Now they're bringing trams back in.
FM 100.3.
Now we're going to chat about one of the most... Was it that very controversial?
It's just typical of these type of people thinking. And they're so far behind the eight ball in time. Our standards have changed, and they shouldn't be over here thinking this way, because it's not our lifestyle.
Well, it's definitely not our lifestyle, but it could be. It's their lifestyle, sort of.
If they don't want to have that lifestyle, live somewhere else, not in Australia.
But what happens if they're born in Australia, Mick?
Bad luck. They want a foreign lifestyle. Let them live in a foreign lifestyle from something where they can have it. Put their ideas over here and force people to think of it.
Well, that does
brainwash people.
You said that rebellion can happen both ways. What measures are available to the woman if she fears nuptials on her husband's part?
Straight thing. A wife, if she fears rebellion, then she can either ask one of the family member to come in between for the reconciliation, because
act
Allah,
as an arbiter.
Yes, as an arbiter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that settlement is better.
Yeah.
Now, and if this doesn't work, then separation. Separation is better for them.
Okay.
See, what's wrong with that, Mick? Separation?
They come and stab their wives.
No, you don't know that.
They have done it before, mate. They've done it heaps of time on the news.
You do not know that.
We have. We've seen them in the news all the time.
Some guy got shot this week, and
he was
Australian.
Grenfell. He was from Grenfell.
Exactly. So crazy stuff happened all the time.
No, but we've seen many a time when the bloke who is a Muslim, he gets separated and he goes and stabs his wife 100,000 times. One happened out in Parramatta, the shopping centre out there. They've had it out in Westmead. They've had them at a lot of places.
Right.
One set their wife on fire.
That's messed up. Well, I can understand why people were upset about it. Even Michaela Cash spoke about it this week. Yeah.
Like any Australians who have either watched the video or who have read reporting on the video, I am absolutely abhorred that there are in particular women out there who are saying that it is all right for a man to hit a woman. And then they outline the circumstances in which this is okay. Let me make it very, very clear.
Yes, there's definitely not a situation where it is okay for men or women.
Hey, what's up? It's Will and Jaden from The Collective. And you're listening to the sounds of MacArthur, 100.3 FM.
It is time to talk movies, Mick.
I saw Flash. It was good. It had Tim Allen. Tim Allen was a ex-superhero. Could run as fast as a speeding bullet.
Is he Superman?
No, he was better than Superman. He was quick.
And how else? What happened?
He had to train these people, these young kids, to replace the other people who he was one of them. Of course, his brother was coming back from a dimension to get rid of them all. But in the end, love took over.
As it does.
Yes. It's better than seeing these movies all violence and all action, and there's nothing in the movie itself. That's all it is. No storyline, all it is.
It's all about explosions and theatrics. And Well, there are a lot of movies out right now I would like to go check.
Yeah, I started watching Scorpion King.
You didn't like it? You don't
It's too much violence.
It's Scorpion King. It's meant to be. Did you watch any of the previous movies, though? It's because, do you remember The Mummy?
Yeah, I
remember. Okay, well, it's the third one of that.
That can't be The Mummy.
It's a spin-off of The Mummy, because The Scorpion King is in the second one.
Yeah, but The Scorpion King had Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, he was in The Mummy.
He was in two of The Mummies.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he's not in the new one, because Tom Cruise is in that one.
I can't stand Tom Cruise.
What? Why not?
Oh, he's just a little...
I'm glad you stopped there, Mick, but...
100.3 FM.
Don't forget, you can download a podcast version of the program over at saturdaynightlive.com.au.
It's a holiday, long weekend.
However, that is it for us. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye for now.